Welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report with your host, Michael Patrick Lake.
7:17 a.m. We are joined right now on our newsmaker line by Tommy Lahren. Her program is Tommy Lahren is Fearless on Fox Nation. Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We always love the fact that you are a Nashville resident and have been for a couple years now. Tommy, I noticed that Dennis Rodman has decided he's going to engage in some more international diplomacy. He's reportedly going to Russia because he's pals, he says, with Vladimir Putin. He's going to try to get Brittany Griner out of the Russian prison. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, when he was asked, he said he was going to go get that girl, and he was planning to go this week. You know, of course, the State Department is telling everybody probably not the best idea to go to Russia, but I don't know if that's going to stop Dennis Rodman or not. If he can do it, though, and if he's successful, boy, what an embarrassment that will be for the Joe Biden-Brandon administration, that with all their diplomatic efforts, they couldn't bring her home, but Dennis Rodman could. So I say, listen, if you want to go ahead and do that, you go ahead. Maybe that's a better way about it than trying to exchange her for a Russian arms dealer nicknamed the Merchant of Death. I would prefer Dennis Rodman, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. Well, it'd be interesting to see. The theme is the haplessness and the vindictiveness of the Biden maladministration. Both of these things appear to be true. Last night, you saw this report from John Solomon. He was on Hannity at Just the News. He broke the news that the Biden maladministration actually waived executive privilege and set up this entire illegal raid of Donald Trump's personal residence by the FBI 2 weeks ago Monday. Your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, this is political sabotage, and I think we all knew from the moment that it happened that this reeked of political sabotage. You don't have a sitting president who has a raid be held on perhaps his biggest political opponent and a former president. You know, hopefully we're going to see this affidavit. You know, they're going to redline or blackline a lot of things, so I don't think we're ever really going to get to the bottom of it. But I can tell you this, when Republicans take back everything in November, at least Congress in November, I think we're going to see a whole lot of investigations, and that's exactly what needs to happen. All this did is fire up the American people, fire up the Trump supporters, and we're not going anywhere.
Aaron Culbertson is in studio. Our lead political reporter. He has a question for you.
Hi, Tommy. What are you looking for, speaking of investigations, what are you looking forward to most out of the Republican Congress after November?
Well, listen, I think the number one threat to our country, besides, of course, the economic threats of inflation, recession, and the Brandon economy, is, of course, our wide-open southern border. You know, we've got these busloads going into D.C. and New York now, which was a great political strategy by Governor Abbott, but now they're getting health care, they're getting free phones, they're getting put up in luxury hotels. This has to end. This has to stop. So I'm hoping that Republicans will finally do something about this. You know, they had a golden opportunity to handle this when we had Donald Trump in office for 2 years, when we had majorities of everything, and they chose not to. So I'm hoping we have a new crop of America First Republicans that are actually going to do something about this wide-open, festering wound that is our open border.
You've been doing an awful lot of reporting about the government of forcing COVID vaccines on members of our military. I think you had a pilot on your program yesterday, who was grounded because they wouldn't take the vaccine, or I guess another one also was having some side effects. Where do you think all of that's going, and what impact does it have on our overall military effectiveness?
Well, listen, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I had a U.S. fighter pilot on my show last night, and he was telling us he's been grounded since last September because he refused to take the vaccine. They denied his religious exemption. And the most ridiculous, moronic part of all of this is that they tell him that without the vaccine, he is a threat, though he flies a single-seater fighter jet, number one. And number two, he still has to go to work and interact with people each day. He's just not allowed to fly. And then, to make it even more asinine and moronic, he tells me that there are contractors that are coming in to actually fly that are unvaccinated, but because they are not military personnel, they are allowed to do so. So the irony, the hypocrisy, the idiocy knows no bounds, but this is all a part of the Biden administration and their ridiculous and moronic infringements that are doing nothing but hurting the American people and our service members who fight for freedom each and every single day, and now they have to comply with such mandates that make no sense to begin with. Absolutely infuriating.
Speaking of mandates that make no sense to begin with, I know that you're just sad to hear the news from yesterday that the creator of those mask mandates and all of the shutdowns, Dr. Anthony Fauci, after 38 years as the head of the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, has announced that he's resigning from those posts in December. Is he like one step ahead of the sheriff?
I think he thinks that if he's no longer in government that he won't be investigated, but he is sadly mistaken. You don't get away with ruining people's lives for 2+ years with your mandates and your decrees and your tyranny and then think that people are going to so quickly forget it. He says he's going to pursue other things in his career. Well, I think the long arm of the law and congressional oversight is going to be pursuing him. So I hope that he enjoys his little time, his little vacation, because I think it's going to hit him real hard again, hopefully, when Republicans take back Congress and we can do something about all of this mess.
I think you're probably right about that. Now, he said he's not retiring. He's just resigning from these two jobs in the public sector. You know, I had a couple thoughts of, you know, what he might do next. I think perhaps being a commentator on MSNBC is one of the possibilities. Giving speeches at, you know, left-wing universities is another. Have you thought of other jobs that he might have after?
Well, I hope that he just becomes a talking head, because that's far less dangerous than I think what he's been doing to our country for the last couple of years, indeed. But he needs to be investigated for his gain-of-function research. He needs to be investigated for a cover-up of the lab leak theory. So if he wants to go to MSNBC with Liz Cheney or whoever else, that's fine. More power to him. But again, you don't get to ruin people's lives and get off the hook. We're coming for him.
Speaking of Liz Cheney, she was defeated in the primary in Wyoming, 66% to 29%. She compared herself to Abraham Lincoln in her concession speech. What do you think the future holds for Liz Cheney?
She thinks she's got presidential ambitions. Boy, that's about the funniest thing I've heard in a while. She's certainly no Abe Lincoln, but she's starting to look and sound more and more like Hillary Clinton by the day. She's bitter. She doesn't represent the people of Wyoming, and I can tell you that because I'm from South Dakota. And she's got no political future, at least as a Republican. Now, if she wants to be a Democrat, yeah, there's something to that, and I wish her the best of luck, but not with an R behind her name.
Did you see the 60-second spot that her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney, did? And did you have, to me, it kind of looked like death warmed over. What were your thoughts on that commercial that he did?
Yeah, if he thought his little ad was going to curry favor with anybody, any Trump supporter out there, again, they are tone deaf, they are elitist. The Democrats also, what I find hilarious about all this, is now they love Dick Cheney and they love Liz Cheney. After they spent the entire Bush administration telling us how evil Dick Cheney was, but now just because he's anti-Trump, they warm up to him. That just goes to show you that their disdain for Donald Trump is greater than their love for this country, and they'll flip-flop anyway in as many ways as they possibly can to avoid any type of support or any type of anything for Donald Trump. We don't need him, though, so it doesn't matter.
Woman. I was shocked, I tell you, shocked, that Hollywood star Kevin Costner, the star of Yellowstone, that his support of Liz Cheney had no impact on the outcome of that primary. Your thoughts about Kevin Costner as a political prognosticator?
It's always so sad when you see your favorite actors and, you know, the screen kind of is pulled away and you see the person behind, because all of us know him as John Dutton, of course, on Yellowstone. Of course, Kevin Costner's got a long list and a huge list of things that he's been in. But most recently, we know him as John Dutton. I can tell you this, though, as someone who's from the heartland, from the Midwest, from a ranching family, John Dutton would be very happy at what happened in Wyoming. Kevin Costner, a Hollywood elitist, Probably not so much, but again, I don't think anybody in Wyoming cared about his endorsement one way or the other. He's a fake cowboy. He's an actor. It didn't move the needle whatsoever.
Yes, for Kevin Costner, that Liz Cheney's Field of Dreams was revealed as a field of schemes. Tommy Lahren, you like that? You could use that line, by the way, if you'd like, Tommy.
That's great. I'm going to.
Thanks so much for joining us, Tommy. And come back again, if you would, please.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
All right. We'll have more when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Aaron Gobinson. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.